This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.
Hello, 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 and we're having fun in the studio today. It's very warm in here today. How is everybody? I have got some super guests for you today. As usual, this is the station, 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio. We're on every Monday, 2 till 4. I'm Jackie Groundsell. This station plays for you a wide range of music, but I also have my wonderful guests who also are diverse in their topics. For example, we could be talking about how to manage your finances, or we could be talking about bed bugs, or we could be talking about the menopause, or the theatre, all sorts of topics. Now, if you find that there's something that you would like us to discuss, do let me know. As I say, Jackie Groundsell, 1230, the Women's Company, and my email address is jgroundsell@, and then the numbers 1230.co.uk, and that of course is the website, all the W's, 1230.co.uk. And we're broadcasting here from Love to Beat Radio Station, based here in Penge. Now, I touched on talking about bugs just a moment ago, and I indeed have a wonderful bug lady here, the amazing Vicky Sims. Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners? We are a locally based radio station with global reach, so who knows who's actually listening to us?
Well, I don't think I can serve the whole world, but you never know. I might go worldwide one day. But yeah, my name is Vicky Sims, and I am the owner of Ladybug Pest Control. I'm based here in southeast London, and I cover most of the southeast postcodes, all of Bromley Borough, and most of the Croydon Borough as well.
That's quite wide, isn't it, Vic?
Yeah, it is a huge area. We're extremely busy at the moment with wasp jobs. There's been a lot of those about, although the weather did put us up off the last few weeks before we decided to get some sunshine. But now we've been extremely busy doing about 20 wasp jobs a day, which keeps us really, really busy, and the staff really busy as well.
20, I mean, that's huge. And then I suppose because of their need, you can't say, okay, well, we'll do you all in one day, and they're over in Croydon, or the far side of Croydon, or they're in Penge or whatever. How do you manage that? How do you juggle it all?
It's about time management. And what you do is the girls in the office will book in the job. They'll look at the diary, look at where the technicians are, and try and fit the jobs around where the technicians mainly are. So then when the technician goes out, he'll do mainly all of Croydon first, then he'll come back into the Bromley Borough, or then he'll go into the southeast area. So it's about time management, and the systems that we have in place also tell you the best way to kind of do the jobs as well. So they work the route out for you as well. So with technology today, it's really easy to kind of manage your time. And the wash jobs don't take that long, to be honest with you. Very rarely are we on a job longer than 10 minutes to do it. So you can knock them out really quickly. And generally, because we are a local business, we can get to the next customer within 10 to 15 minutes. So we send them a text warning, notify them that we're on our way. We'll send them a tracking link as well, so they can then see if we're stuck in any traffic. And then 9 times out of 10, the customers open the door ready for us when we pull up, which is great, because all they want to do really is get rid of the wasps, because they are very dangerous to us humans, especially if anyone's allergic to them. The wasps will continually inject venom into either a human or even a pet dog or cat, and it could eventually, you know, if you've got an anaphylactic shock, if you don't get that dealt with within 30 minutes, you could die. Oh, so yeah,
nice
though
one.
I know, but you know, that's reality. You know, and that's why we are called a lot, and that's why we're extremely busy. And yeah, and we serve the local community, and we're always really highly recommended. So that's a good thing. You can't beat word of mouth.
No.
Really, I think that's the best advertisement.
Absolutely. And people can't miss you, can they, Vicky? Big yellow van with lovely ladybird on it.
Yeah, it's huge. But we want to try and get into the more of the commercial sector. So I've had to grow up a little bit. So I'll keep my domestic logo the way it is. But I've had to sit down with my designer and we've had to come up with a more grown-up ladybug logo with more corporate colours and stuff like that. So, yeah, which is a shame because I'm still the same person. We've still all got the same qualifications and the training. It's all the same. It's just that, unfortunately, in the corporate world, you have to be more corporate. And I just try and inject a little bit of fun into what can be a very distressing situation for some people, even when you go into offices, schools and stuff like that. I love going into schools because the kids, especially the younger kids, they just love the logo. They go, oh, it's Ladybug. And it's like, and you just get noticed that way. And even when you're driving the vans, which are bright yellow, you're absolutely right, with a giant ladybird on it. All the kids, when you're stuck in traffic, I like sitting in traffic. It's my best advertisement. I absolutely love sitting in traffic because you've got people walking along and they always look at the vehicles. Mm. And, you know, when I've got family in my car, because all my vehicles are all sign written up. And if I've got my family in the car and everyone goes, do you not realise how many times you are being looked at? I said, but that's a good thing. I don't shy away from it. I wave and stuff like that. So it's good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd like to come back to the corporate marketing side of things for you in terms of your brand in a minute, Vicky. But you mentioned about the dangers for humans and animals if, for example, they get stung by a wasp. Do you find that actually when you turn up to a client, you've also got that situation to manage as well, or is it literally you just wasps gone and all
no
of it?
Yeah, I mean, no, we are, you know, the community, I'm very much community focused and looking after our customers. I always ask them if they're okay, blah blah blah, and have a conversation with them. But yeah, it is, I have to try and reassure people a hell of a lot, especially like if you're going into a property that's got rats running around or they've seen a rat, the customer can be so distraught. It is unbelievable. And I tend to have to go in and reassure that client, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is what's happening, and be, you know, very much open and upfront with what's going on. You know, I do explain a hell of a lot. I do talk a lot on the jobs as well. But that's because I'm reassuring them, because I have got a fear. I've got, my fear is spiders. And if I've got someone coming in and they're just coming in, not even talking to me about the situation, like what's been going on, what's the behaviour, you know, you're living with this pest at the end of the day. There's no way that I could just go in and go, right, step to one side, I'm going to deal with your problem without even having a conversation with that person. Mm. I just don't think that's the right way to treat it. I just think you need to involve the client, because at the end of the day, they also need to work with you to get the job done right as well, because we've got the tools but we don't know the behavior of what's been going on. You know, where have you seen the rats or the mice? You know, what has been going on? Tell me the behavior. And it makes that customer feel a little bit reassured and at ease that they're part of helping getting rid of the pests.
So we've touched on wasps, and obviously with the warmth of the weather and everything else, do you sometimes get people who say they've got wasps, but actually they've got bees?
Yeah, so normally if they're not sure, because it's obvious what's the difference between a wasp and a bee. Mm. Wasps are very yellow, they're predominantly yellow, whereas our honeybees are more of a golden brown with the black stripe. So if they're still not 100% sure, I will say to them, look, is there any chance you can send me in a video or a photograph or, you know, something? And if they still can't, we will then go out and we will identify it as well. And if it does turn out to be bees, then I've got a guy who lives locally as well who does honeybee removal. So we won't kill bees. It's not,
You're not allowed to, are you?
If it's a matter of you have to look at the situation. If it's because there are bees can also sting you.
Yeah.
But they tend not to sting you unless they feel threatened. So if there's a situation and it's right by a nursery, obviously we have to look at that and think, you know what, we need to try and get these bees removed. We will always try and get the bees removed, not kill. Mm. A lot of people think that we get off on, killing all the time, but it's not always about that. You have to look at every single situation differently and see the situation. And if there's a life or death situation to human and pets, then we have to make that judgment call. And we have to explain that to the customer. And sometimes the customer just says, just kill them. And I go, well, no, we're not here to do that. I like to educate people as well. So, you know, if there is a situation where there are bees, I will get my bee guy in and he will do it and stuff. And that's how we kind of do it. I'm not one of these people just to go around killing everything. I don't even kill a lot of rats, if I'm honest with you. I'll redirect them.
That way.
Yeah, go that way. This customer doesn't want you there. But, that's a different situation. With rats, they tend to come up from the sewer network. So we then have got the equipment and the availability to be able to put down our CCTV camera and be able to see, right, how are the rats getting into your home? And 9 times out of 10, there's a redundant branch line. And the rats have tunneled up, burrowed out of the sewer network and up underneath the foundations of the property and into your home. Before you know it, they've got the whole footprint of your home without even you realising that. Yeah.
And their family.
And the family, they live there rent-free.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So something that pops up periodically, I notice, on Facebook is foxes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where I live, we back onto Beckenham Town Football Club, and in between there there's a piece of land, and we get a lot of foxes along there and also going up and down our road. And I know in Beckenham people will pop up on Facebook and say, oh, I found this dead fox, what am I supposed to do with it? And I know sometimes if you're around and available, as people call on you via Facebook, that you will deal with it. But I mean, does that happen often?
Yeah, I mean, this year we have picked up a lot more. We've done a lot more dead animal removal collection. Normally, I always say to people, I try and save people money, especially in this day and age where we've got the cost of living crisis and stuff like that. It's not always cheap to call out pest control. So I always advise people, I say, look, if the fox is in your back garden or the dead animal is in your back garden, we had a deer the other week.
Really?
I know. Where was that? It was in Croydon.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a deer. It was only a baby deer. The lady was selling her house. So we went round there and we said, look, we obviously say, if you can get the dead animal to the roadside, the council will come and collect that for you free of charge.
Mm.
But obviously, if they don't have that and they're too squeamish, and because it is a horrible situation to deal with.
I guess it depends on the state of the body.
Yeah, exactly.
Not being too sensitive.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and there is a lot. We have to put our masks on. We have to be all gloved up, and then we disinfect the area as well. So it's not just a matter of bagging it up and then off it goes.
Mm.
We do have to do other stuff as well, because there's generally a lot of maggots and flies, and the stench is absolutely disgusting.
I imagine.
But yeah, so we do things like that as well. So yeah, we do a whole wide range of services within the pest control industry, and that's why I'm very popular as well, because there are females in the industry, but it is very much male dominated. However, I'm one of the very few. I think there's less than 3% of us in the UK that actually run a pest control company but deliver a lot of the pest control services. So you may have a female who's just an entomologist, and she will only deal with bugs and she won't deal with the rodents. Or you may have another female that just deals with moles and nothing else. Mm. Whereas me, I do a wide range of services.
Mm.
And it's just growing all the time, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to work out how long have we known each other? It's got to be...
It's got to be a good 2016, I think I first met you.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 2016. So that was when my issues started, if you like.
Yeah.
My trauma.
Yeah, because you had a difficult start with your business, didn't you?
It wasn't easy. Things happen in your life, and it just knocked me for six. You know, I went into a depressive kind of state, attempted suicide and stuff like that. That didn't work. So I thought, right, what am I here for? Pick yourself up, Vic, and off we go.
Well, I'm very glad you didn't succeed.
A lot of people do say that, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But when you're in that moment, Jackie,
I can't imagine.
It's a very dark, dark hole. Mm. And, I'm quite happy to speak about my story. And I've done it with the British Pest Control Association, which is one of the trade organisations that I belong to. Mm. And I've done my story in their magazine, which goes to like quite a lot of people up and down the country, pest controllers and stuff like that. And the amount of guys that actually got in contact with me, offered me support, but also opened up about their own life and what they were going through, I found that so humbling. Because, you know, with guys, they don't really talk about their feelings or anything. They just get on with it. But for me to be able to open up within that industry and to get the response that I did was absolutely amazing. I had one guy, he was on the brink of it. And I just thought, you've just got to, you know, just stay in there. You know, I spoke to him quite a lot and stuff. And he's all right now. He thanks me for, you know, giving him the advice and not giving up, because he was on the edge. He really was on the edge. So that's why I'm quite happy to talk about my story and my situation, because if I can help just one person just to try and see things slightly differently, yes, you're in this dark hole at the moment, but it's not got to be a dark hole forever. Mm. You can actually get out of it. Mm. It's just that you've got to want to get out of that as well. We've totally digressed from pest control, haven't we?
No, but but you're my guest.
I know, yes.
Whatever it covers.
Yes, yes,
this is what I said earlier, you know, we have such a wide and diverse range of topics and how it comes. I might come back to that in a minute, Nikki.
Yeah.
But I'm just checking if my next client is actually ready to come on. I don't think she is, but never mind. We can carry on for a second. I think what we'll do is come back to that if we may, Vicky, and
yeah,
I think
sure.
It'll be really helpful to people, because there's, you know, life's a bit of a bitch, isn't it?
It is, especially at the moment.
And emotions just come up and smack you. They don't really give you any warning at all. Now, as I say, we'll come back to you, Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
My next guest I can see is actually waiting with bated breath to get on air.
12:30 TWC Business Beat Radio, Mondays 2 till 4 p.m. UK time. Tips, inspiration, fun, tunes for and from business women on all the socials. www.1230.co.uk at Love to Beat Radio.
Now, my next guest is Maggie Barry. Berry, I beg your pardon, Maggie, who I also have known for a long time, and she has changed job roles in between times. Now, Maggie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you nice and loud and clear.
Super. Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, so we're live on air now, as you know, or you are live on air now. As indeed I am, and so is Vicky. So Vicky, if you've got any questions that you might want to ask Maggie. So Maggie, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie, great to be here, and hi everybody. So Jackie said, my name is Maggie Berry, and I currently run a responsible business charity called Heart of the City, and we're all about supporting small and medium-sized enterprises with getting started on their responsible business journey, so looking at all things related to sustainability, ESG, CSR, all sorts of things like that. And I've run the charity for a couple of years, but Jack, as you mentioned, we've known each other for a good long while, because prior to that, I was in a role with an organisation called We Connect International, which was all about helping women-owned businesses sell their stuff into large corporates. And so I spent a lot of time working with women-owned businesses. And my career started way back when, looking actually very specifically at women working in the tech industry. So I spent a lot of time working in the women in business space, and with a strong focus on that SME, that small business, entrepreneurial space. Yeah, so that's me, and I don't know how much I could probably share lots more, but I'll guide me about how much detail you
have. Yeah, no, just to sort of expand a bit on that, Maggie. Heart of the city being London. Whereabouts physically are you in London when you're in the city?
Yeah, a great question. So today I'm actually at home today. So we have a hybrid working model, and I live North Hertfordshire. But our offices, we are really lucky. We are actually homed within the City of London Corporation. So that's the governing body for the Square Mile. And we are very lucky because we have office space actually in the Guildhall, right in the centre of the city.
Yeah.
Indeed, our office overlooks, if any of you or any of your listeners are familiar with the Guildhall Yard, it's actually where the original Roman amphitheatre was in Roman London. And our the office space that we're in is right there. And
brilliant. So
right bang in the centre of it all. It's amazing.
Yeah. I haven't been there for a little while, but yes, I do know it because I knew the ladies in the library well that time.
Yes.
Going way back when. But
so do you mean the small business library?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are now, they've also just moved recently, and they're literally around the corner from the Heart of the City offices, and we do lots of work with them. We really enjoy working with with that team and supporting lessons with all sorts of different aspects of running your business well.
Oh, brilliant. It sounds as if I need a physical meeting with you to reconnect with them, because they all seem to retire at the same time. So I've sort of lost the connection.
It's interesting. So the team, you know, I mean, I mentioned the Roman amphitheatre. The space that they now occupy, if you go downstairs, you can kind of open a dividing wall, and if you go down into their kind of basement, you're actually on the level and you can see the Roman amphitheatre, the remains of it right there. It's a very cool event.
Yeah.
It's a very cool event space. And aside all of the stuff that I do at work, all the stuff around women in business and supporting SMEs, I love my history. So to be able to be based right there is a real privilege. And yeah, there's so much history in the city, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a wonderful location. And so what's a typical day look like for you, Maggie? Do you have a typical day? I know you've just described the fact that you're working hybrid, you're working from home, and you're also working in the office at times. But do you have two typical days?
I would say, well, actually, a Monday is a fairly typical day for me. I'm normally always working from home on a Monday, and it's one of the days when I normally speak to all of my team and make sure that I've had a chance to check in with everybody. So Mondays are normally a day with a lot of calls kind of running throughout the day. I have rejigged my schedule to be able to speak Saturday this afternoon. And then other days, no, I don't think there is a typical day. I think I'm probably very, very similar to a lot of other business leaders with small organisations. You know, we're a team of eight, and every day we're required to do different things. And indeed, it actually changes at the time of the year as well. So I will be honest right now, one of my big things that I'm working on is that we're just about to do our annual report and audit process, which is maybe, it's quite admin orientated, but it's a very necessary part of what we're doing. And so actually for the next few weeks, I'm going to be quite focused on that and making sure that we've got the charity through the financial audit. But then by the time we get to the end of October, I know that as a team we're delivering some big events, and I'll be involved in making sure they're running successfully. And at other parts, then we'll be doing different things. So no typical day, but you know what, we are that working hybrid and remotely. I'm a big fan of that kind of setup and the team having the opportunity to come into the office if they would like, and we make a big effort to always be together on a Tuesday. It's the one day of the week when everybody's working, and we really make an effort to be together. And then other days of the week, people might be at home, some people might be in the office. There's real flexibility there, and I think that's an important aspect for me in running the charity.
So thank you for that. So your main focus is on helping startups or business growth generally?
No, so it's definitely, so our definition of an SME, a small medium-sized enterprise, is any business with up to 250 staff. So that's actually quite large. And quite a lot of the businesses we work with are probably relatively established. They might still be maybe a team of like 5, 6, 7, 8 people. But they're at a point in their journey where they are ready to start thinking about, am I running my business well? And indeed, our tagline as the charity is that we believe every business can be a force for good. We specialise in helping businesses who haven't really maybe looked at anything connected to sustainability and really helping them to put the building blocks in place that we believe they need to be able to, you know, run a business well, whether that's looking at things like equality, diversity, inclusion, is it having a volunteering policy, is it looking at the mental health and well-being of your team, is it something connected to net zero and environment. But what we specialise in is really helping small entities who aren't going to have a full-time sustainability manager to get started. So all really practical and hands-on with loads of resources and guidance and, you know, acknowledgement that you can't just do this stuff overnight, but they'll help you over the longer term to kind of pull these programs together and really help you embed these practices into your business.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that sounds really worthwhile. So, sorry, excuse me. So, if people wanted to get hold of you, Maggie, how would they get in touch and find out more?
The website, there's lots of information on the website, which is theheartofthecity.com. I am on LinkedIn, but I get a lot of different requests on LinkedIn. So actually, the best thing is to try and get hold of me via the email on the website. There's an info@email address on the website, and that will then wend its way to me if you'd like to get in touch that way. I'm active on LinkedIn, as is Heart of the City as a charity generally. So you can see if you're thinking, gosh, yeah, I'd quite like to think about, you know, we'd be interested in a volunteering policy, or thinking about maybe our own charitable giving. There are tons of resources on our website, all free to access. You can just search the topic that you're looking for. It's all online and easily accessible. Sometimes you might need to just give us some details about yourself. Some of the funding that we've had to develop some of the resources means we need to just check where people are located if they access the content. For example, we've got a really brilliant, I'm biased because I'm the charity, but it is really brilliant. We've had some good feedback, you know, really brilliant climate net zero toolkit that absolutely designed at small businesses to help them, you know, think about, right, what does this all mean? How do I get started? How do I start measuring? So there's all sorts of stuff there. So I'm on the website and you can absolutely get in touch.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. I think you were very tactful when you said about LinkedIn, a lot of people contacting you. What you mean is you get spammed. So...
I'm sure many of you know around settings on LinkedIn, and you can set different things. I have for a long time not had a setting on there meant if you don't know my email address, you can't get in touch. But I thought that was a bit of a barrier, so I removed that. Yeah. But I do get a lot of people getting in touch, and I have to say I don't always get to everything as quickly as I might like. So the easiest way for me is definitely via an email.
Yeah.
And even though my inbox is busy, as I'm sure everybody is, I do eventually get around to looking at emails. And I love LinkedIn, but there's a lot.
Yeah, there's only so much anyone can do in a day anyway, isn't there? And everybody, the difficulty is that everybody's got their favourites. So, for example, I have a WhatsApp group for my hosts, and one of my hosts doesn't do WhatsApp. So, you know, I always have to do email with her. And so I'm sort of real belt and braces in that situation. So it's quite difficult. Have you got any events coming up, Maggie? Do you do events as such? I must confess I haven't looked at your website recently.
Yes, we do. So we do a lot of what we do is online delivery because it means that we can reach businesses wherever they might be. It also means we can record it and then people can listen back. Mm. Our next online session, just going to double check the date, I want to say it is first week in September, is actually all about carbon offsetting and whether small businesses should be thinking about carbon offsetting. So again, this is one of the kind of topics that we look at around environment and net zero. And so we're doing, should you be buying carbon offsets? That's on the 6th of September. It's a free 1 hour lunchtime session. And then the one after that, which again is kind of all in this kind of theme around sustainability, we're doing one about the UN Sustainable Development Goals and thinking about responsible business strategies, and that's on the 19th of September. So there's an events tab on the website,
and you can
access everything there. And then we do in-person events. They are kind of fewer and far between, if that makes sense. We're probably just a few times a year. But if any of your listeners are kind of, are located kind of in the Square Mile or doing a lot of work in the Square Mile, we've got an event for business. I don't think it's on the website yet, though, but that'll be towards the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
More details about that. But a lot of what we do is online, and the way it's designed is it means people can access it whenever they want. So I don't know about you,
that's so handy.
End up doing things at random times of the day, which when other people are working or on the weekends.
Yeah.
And it just means, like, you know, we appreciate that for business owners, that's the flexibility they need. So we try and match that.
I think it's interesting because you're talking about having a hybrid way of working, and so many people have these days. And I think catching up time is often dependent, obviously, on people's personal situation, but a lot of catching up time, I find, not only for me but for other people I know, is Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the sort of objects we've got there. Maggie, I need to update everybody with some news that's going on here in a moment. So thank you so much for being on here. Let's have a proper catch up in person so we can do hybrid as well. Just to let our listeners know that if there's any part of this show that you've missed, it is being recorded and will be on the 1230 website, which is all the W's, 1230.co.uk, next Friday. That's not this week, that's the following week. It will be there. So if there is any information that you've perhaps missed that Maggie was saying, you'll be able to find that next Friday in particular. But Maggie, just a quickie, your website address again?
It is theheartofthecity.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And let's have a proper catch up. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to play your music very shortly before the adverts come in, which is, just reminds me what you chose.
I said David Gray and This Year's Love, which is on his White Ladder album, which is from a long time ago now, but a big favourite of mine.
Is it? So no other reason. It's just something that you particularly love.
I have to admit, there's only a few, I don't know, maybe a few albums over the years that have kind of left a big mark, and his is one of them. And in fact, when he did an anniversary tour last year and played the whole album back to back, and I went to O2 with my husband to listen to it all, and it was just so many memories. But This Year's Love, it's such a gorgeous song, and I just love the...
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you again, Maggie, and I look forward to meeting again in person soon, I hope.
Come to Guildhall, come and meet us.
I'd love to. Yeah, no, I'd love to have a proper catch up. You know, that'd be really good. So thank you again and speak to you soon.
You're very welcome. You're very
welcome. Take care, Maggie. Take care. Bye.
1230 TWC Business Beat Radio. Mondays 2 till 4 p.m. UK time. Tips, inspiration, fun, tunes. For and from business women. On all the socials. www.1230.co.uk at Love to Beat Radio.
Next guest is already and waiting. Nina, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Fantastic. Yes, so we can. Thank you so much. I wasn't able to get, I don't know for what reason, but I wasn't able to get Sammy Davis Jr. actually singing your piece of music, but it was enough for us, Vicky and me, in the studio to be a bit jigging around. So that was good.
Lovely.
I think first thing is, Nina, absolutely thrilled that you can be with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Okay. Well, I'm a mixed bag of wonderful all sorts. So, a performer, from a singer to an actor to a producer, director, and I'm also an educator, teacher as well of the voice, and that beats speech and singing and a few other things on the side as well. So I'm a big creator, award-winning. I work with lots of different creatives in different areas, and I love my work.
Wow, yes, I know. It's and the current thing is you're Billie Holiday, aren't you?
Yeah, the current couple of shows that I've been doing is The Billie Holiday Story.
Hmm.
The Billie Holiday Story was a show that started off in Edinburgh and then it went to the West End. It sold out, won awards in the West End. And then we did a tour and the tour ended up, we converted that into like a concert version. And that concert version has been running for quite some time now, almost 10 years actually, quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing. And I worked with the wonderful Alan Rogers on piano, and he was the MD for that project. And certainly, I didn't start with him. I started with another wonderful MD pianist called Warren Wills, and he's absolutely amazing as well. But Alan joined me for the show in the West End, and we've just been together ever since. And it's been phenomenal. And I wrote another show called Timeless, where I'm singing in 5 different languages.
Wow.
It's unusual.
How does that work? Do you speak languages yourself?
No, I'm not fluent in the languages, but I'm fluent in, when it comes to the linguistics of singing. Mm. I'm using lots of phonetics and so forth. So I sing in French, Italian, Spanish, Latin, of course, English. Mm. And the show sort of, Timeless, it's called. And I tag my name in both my shows, so, there's a good way of people sort of enunciating my name correctly, or going Chris, and getting kind of close to it, and I'm okay with that too. So it's Nina Christopherson's Billie Holiday story, and then Nina Christopherson's Timeless, and as I was saying, Timeless is from Beyoncé to Puccini in 5 different languages, but it incorporates all different styles of music. So you've got a little bit of Latin music, you've got classical music, you've got lots of musical theatre, you've got pop, you've got rock, you've got R&B, you've got gospel, you've got soul. Mm. And there's about 18 songs in Timeless, and the same for the Billie Holiday story. But Timeless is a show that sort of incorporates all these different languages, and very, very much a way of bringing the community together, because I always feel the community is so diverse in culture. Mm. And and I think when people come to the shows, it's a mixture of different age groups and demographics and cultural mixture. And I really love that, to be honest. I always get somebody who can speak fluent or who is native. And we have great banter between myself and the audience. And it's a lot of fun, actually. So it's really nice.
Which theatre, for our listeners, which theatre is that on at? Are you performing at?
The theatre, when the Billie Holiday store was at the Charing Cross Theatre, just off the Strand in the West End, and then it toured, and then, as I said, and then it's been at the Pheasantry, which is in Chelsea on King's Road, 152 King's Road, Sloane Square, and then also at Sidell's Crazy Cox. And because Crazy Cox has got it's a wonderful Art Deco venue.
Right.
Right by Piccadilly Circus, about a minute walk from there. And it's absolutely beautiful. They've got a lovely, beautiful theatre space in there. I think it's just under 100.
Mm.
And it's really lovely. So I'm there often as well, between Crazy Cox and the Pheasantry, performing both the Billie Holiday story and Timeless. So I'm looking to incorporate and perform at other venues in London and around London with those shows and everything. So I'm very open to that. But the last show was just on the 12th of August at the Pheasantry, which was Timeless, and just absolutely brilliant. We changed the lineup a little bit. We included a few more new songs. We included Diamonds Are Forever, a bit of Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
So it asked me to say that. So it was, that was really nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Really amazing. And then a wonderful tribute to the fabulous Tina Turner, who's no longer with us.
Yes.
River Deep, Mountain High. And then Never Enough from The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
And that was included. So it kind of gives you an idea of the kind of eclectic mix. And then I sing things like Ave Maria, O Mio Babbino Caro, Besame Mucho, Mambo Italiano. You know what I mean? So it's a real eclectic mix. And there's a bit of Adele there as well. So there's really something for everyone. James Brown. Yeah. It's full.
Vicky, it's sounds great. Like we've got to get booked in here. This is definitely, is it?
Yeah.
It's not. Am I understanding this correctly, Nina, that this is something that you developed yourself?
I wrote both the shows I developed and wrote.
Yeah.
So,
amazing.
So I think that's, thank you. It's unusual. I think it's especially when I first wrote it, I think I was one of the first, if not the first, to have written their own show for the West End and starred in it, and was one of the producers, and that was a Billie Holiday story.
Yeah.
So I wrote it when I was Billie Holiday, and it's a one-woman show. Both of them are one-woman shows.
Mm.
And the Billie Holiday story had a five-piece jazz band in there, so wonderful musicians like Martin Shaw, Jeff Gascoigne, you know, Albert Garza, you know, wonderful, Phil Donnelly, just really a huge eclectic mix. And that's the production that Alan Rogers was MDing on, and he was just fantastic to work with. And we just got on so well that we built a wonderful relationship, and we continue to work on Timeless again. And that's also, you know, that can be played with a band, or it can be played with a three-piece. Often it's played with Alan and myself and some tracks to support and give a big sound. But it certainly is, it's a roller coaster ride, both of them, different reasons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Reasons. I mean, I can understand, and it makes perfect sense that you have to be able to get on with the people that you're working with because of the way everything is set up. Did I understand correctly that you've been with it, taking it to, or started off at the Edinburgh Festival?
Yeah, that's right. It was at Edinburgh Festival. And it was just myself and Warren Wills. He was amazing. He was my pianist, MD, for the first leg of it. And then I wanted him to do the West End, but he had another production. Mm. And while I was at Edinburgh, he introduced me to Alan Rogers. And that's when I suddenly thought, oh, we can't do it. I suddenly thought, let me try Alan. Is Alan free?
Mm.
And he came round, and he was on the piano. He played literally as soon as his fingers touched the piano. Within one flourish, I said, oh, please be free, because he was amazing. I sort of thought, oh. But Edinburgh was amazing. I mean, Edinburgh Festival is running now, so
yeah,
I don't know if anyone's been up there. Yeah. To me. Have you been before?
No, I've never been. I almost went. well, I was doing my background's IT training, and I had a contract in Glasgow, and the network, the internet network, broke down, and one of the guys said to me, why don't you go to the Edinburgh Festival? And I said, oh yeah, that'd be great. And then one of the other guys said to me, how on earth could you possibly consider going there when you were in the cultural centre of the universe? You must go to the Glasgow Arts Museum or whatever it was. So I went there instead. But interesting.
Are you kidding me?
I know. So I've never made it. But interestingly enough, I don't know whether you would ever have come across Pam Ford as a comedian, stand-up comedian, and Matthew Crosby.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pam Ford has been a friend for a long time, and she's just literally taken the leap away from working as an events organiser in a care home, and she's up at the festival at the moment. She's done the festival for many years, but she's also kept that work, you know, her work, her job, if you like, going. But over in the last couple of days, she's taken that big leap. And Matthew lives locally here, and he came into the studio the other week, so it was an absolute joy to make him as well. And he was saying that anybody who's anybody does Edinburgh Festival. That's, you know, that went to start if at no other time. So foolishly, in some ways, I listened and went to Glasgow event and didn't do the Edinburgh Festival when I was up there. So, but I must do it, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that, well, you know, it's always on every year, you know, apart from the pandemic when it wasn't running.
Sure.
I think, but, you know, I think it's really good to go and see what it's all about, especially even if you don't like theatre as such, but it's just great to support the arts in general, to be honest.
Mm.
Because they took such a big blow when it came to the pandemic, because, you know, most people weren't furloughed, so they weren't getting any support.
Mm.
And the theatres were closed for 2 years, just, you
Gosh.
Know, if you think about it. Yeah, it's a long time. So
huge
long time
impact.
For an industry. Yeah, a huge impact. It basically brought it to a halt, and for that industry to not have any support, and now it's still not fully back.
Mm.
It's getting there, but it's not fully back, because There's a backlog of shows that haven't been performed that are still to be scheduled 2 years down the line, coming on to a year. Do you know what I mean? And then there's new shows that they're trying to slot in as well. So it's a really complicated mix at the moment. And I personally, I've been really lucky to have been performing at the moment when I do get an opportunity, because I know that some shows haven't been able to perform and everything. But, after the furlough and the pandemic, people are coming back to the arts. So it's great that things like Edinburgh Festival is back up and running and people are going there and really begin to enjoy creativity and exploring that. And artists are exploring their skills, and writers and directors and producers are getting back into the game of creating new pieces and bringing them back to festivals at large and that going to the wider world. So it's incredible. But on the back of that, I was thinking about, because I'm also the chair for the Writers Guild of Great Britain for the London and South East region.
All right.
And I represent. Yeah. So at the moment, I don't know if you've heard anything about what's going on in America with SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild of America. They're on strike, and they're still on strike because of
AI.
And
that was exactly AI, the next thing I was going to ask you about. So yeah, please.
What were you going to say?
Sorry, I was going to say that the next thing I was going to... I'm so pleased that you sort of wrapped around and led into what's going on in Hollywood with all of that, because I was going to ask you about the impact of AI to your industry and your experience.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting because I sort of tag it up more onto America, because they're kind of leading the way with the current strike and everything, and it's had a huge impact there. And what has an impact there has an impact here in the UK and around the world, to be honest. Artificial intelligence is a good thing to a point, but they're going to use artificial intelligence to replace, humans, we're sort of negating a new area, which isn't really feasible, because we know that artificial intelligence is brilliant at algorithms, but beyond that it's not human, it doesn't have feelings, and you can actually ask, there's loads of apps that you can actually use to create stories, but those stories are kind of generic around the information that's put in and something will throw out. But whereas original stories, the human experience, the lived experience, isn't something that can be related to AI as such. So it's although it's got great, it's a great tool, but it cannot replace the stories that we can come up with as individuals, that we tell our children, that we share around the campfire, we share in general, and those stories can't be replaced by AI. And also the strikes about residuals and people being paid for repeats and how they're using AI to basically generate a copy of somebody. They're copying somebody's somebody, and once they copy them, they're not giving them any pay for that. And that's a huge issue. You can't do that. That's illegal.
Yeah.
You can't take a copy of me and then replicate that and not pay me for that.
No.
I'm not a free service. You're not a free service. And from what I'm hearing, that's quite commonplace in Hollywood and around, but predominantly even Hollywood, and people, and I think because they can't afford to pay for their health insurance as well, I think they have to earn $26,000 in order to qualify for health insurance, and I think if they can't qualify, that just sort of shows you that they're not even breaking the minimum wage, and that's, I think, I believe about 98% of workers in that industry, in the arts, in the film industry, in America, are not qualifying for health insurance
really?
From that job alone.
Gosh.
Yeah. So,
I didn't realise that.
I know the number is really it's quite not just shocking, but it's unbelievable that that could be real. Really.
Mm.
So, I don't think they don't have any choice but to strike because the conditions are not sustainable and they have to change, and it's the only way they can sort of really hopefully negotiate a real working environment that's sustainable for everyone.
It raises all sorts of legal issues, doesn't it? I mean, it's with copyright, etc., licenses, I mean, just scratching the surface. As you say, the health insurance thing is another matter altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, once your health, if you can't have any support for your health, you can forget it, you know.
Yeah.
Without your health, that's it. And if you can't afford to take care of yourself, to buy medicine for yourself, for your children, for your family, you know, that's really, really poor. I mean, we've got the issues here as well. It's just that at the moment, we have a free health service. How long that's going to continue the way things are going, we don't know.
But
We certainly aren't under the constraints of the Americans. But the same issues that they're fighting, we're fighting here, you know, it's through the Writers Guild of Great Britain, we're fighting that, and also through equity that represents artists. And, all I can say for anyone out there listening, join a new union, because it really is important to stand together as a in solidarity to really help shift change for the mass rather than for a minority.
Absolutely. And I think that's another topic that could really be quite expansive, isn't it? Nina, I'm just conscious of our time, because Sonia Brown, who I mentioned to you earlier, she should be joining us around about 5:30.
Lovely.
So please do feel free to stay on the line. Your
Great.
Other piece of music that you chose was Ave Maria, which I don't know
Ave
about
Maria.
Vicky, but I will probably be in tears when that comes on. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think just to touch very quickly on the fact that you also are a lecturer in various universities on diversity for one topic. What other things do you do in that area?
Well, for the universities, I was former director of EDI, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion, for one university. And I also lecture on the voice. So I do workshops, both singing, gaming and voice workshops at different universities, and also lecture on equality, diversity and inclusion. And what that encompasses is basically equality, cultural change and shift for the majority, generally the global majority, because the idea is to try and bring the minority back into the mainstream. So the conversations that have been sort of kept out of the circle are brought in to change the framework of education so that it's much more acceptable and easily digestible for all rather than for, you know, the mainstream, because you've got lots of different cultures who are impacted by, the topics that have been chosen that haven't been broad enough and haven't been inclusive enough. And the idea that they should basically adhere to the cultural change that is the norm, but what is considered the norm? And that's depending on where you're from. The norm is...
Yeah. What is the norm for anything?
Exactly, exactly. The norm is all of us, really, and it should be inclusive, and that's the argument. And that's really the shifting of the education and the pedagogy, making sure that the quality of work and the choices are there, that the educators can actually share much more. So they're not sort of pigeonholed with the old text of the great writers. Don't get me wrong, they're wonderful. You know, everyone knows about Shakespeare, but not everyone knows about the other wonderful writers that are out there in different cultures. And it's understanding that and bringing that into the mainstream, because that's the mainstream of life. So education really needs to be an aspect of what's our lived experience, as well as just being taught, a sort of really diluted form of education. So I love teaching and I love being an educator, and I do that a lot. You're right. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, thank you. And just before we leave you for a moment, hopefully Sonia will be joining us soon. And if you've got time, Nina, to stay on, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Just a reminder of how people can... just type in your name, I guess, into Google and they'll find you, won't they?
12:30 TWC Business Beat Radio, Mondays 2 till 4 p.m. UK time. Tips, inspiration, fun, tunes for and from business women on all the socials. www.1230.co.uk at Love to Beat Radio.
Okay, so I now have two super guests who have zoomed in. Nina, who you heard from earlier, and Sonia Brown. Sonia, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Wonderful. Now, I know what you get up to, at least I think I know what you get up to. Vicky, I'm not sure Vicky's in the studio with me, you just said hello to her. So I'm going to turn her on as well, her mic on as well, so that we can include her in the conversation. And I'm just hoping we don't get negative feedback here. So... Nina and Sonia meet each other. Actually, I'm going to turn you off.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Nina and Sonia, please meet each other. Sonia, if you would like to introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Okay. So I'm Sonia Brown, MPE. I'm the founder of the National Black Women's Network and Sister Talk, and we are about empowering women to progress in their aspirations. So we support and inspire and motivate women to achieve their aspirations, whether it's in business, corporate, or politics. So that's what we do. And we do that through education, workshops, networking events, any online programs, etc. Anything to help boost our women.
Sonia, aren't you doing a relaunch in September?
Yeah, is that about that? Yeah. So we're rebranding because Jackie always makes me tell everybody when I'm on the show. So I suffered from Guillain-Barré syndrome, which meant I woke up one day and I couldn't walk. And it's been nearly 4 years. I didn't even realise it was that long that I've been trying to walk again. So it's taken an impact on the network, also my mental health, I might add. And so we are going to launch by hook or by crook in the first week of September. So that'll be www.nbwn, National Black Women's Network.org. So even if you go to the site now, you can sign up to get notified of what's going to happen. And it should be okay. It should be fine.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I don't know, Sonia,
if
you
were... I'm loving the content at the moment, and the design's nice, so I'm still in love with it. You know what it's like when you're doing a website.
Yeah, no. I don't know if you were able to listen to the show any earlier when Nina came on. Have you been able to listen to that today?
Yeah.
So you
I got in from when Maggie was talking.
Pardon?
I tuned into the show when Maggie was speaking.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So you know about, what I was thinking about particularly with Nina was the diversity side of things, which of course is something that you're involved in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been doing that for a long, long time, and it's changing, the world is changing, people's values, beliefs, priorities are changing when it comes to diversity, so it's, what's the talk of today will not be the same next year, and it's an evolving topic, it's an emotive topic, and it means different things to different people, so yeah.
Absolutely, you were saying, Sonia, about your relaunch in September. Now, Vicky in the studio with me is not actually relaunching, but she's diversifying and adding in a bit on the corporate side of things. And we started talking about it, but we weren't able to finish that. Vicky, do you want to tell our listeners? And
yeah, it was just sort of like I've had to kind of, if you like, grow up a little bit, because I don't know, my branding at the moment is very, what they say in the corporate world, very quite childlike and quite comical and stuff like that. And the reason why I chose the original logo was because because working in pest control can actually be really daunting for some people, and I wanted to be different. So I looked at the rest of the industry, and most of the industry is really dark colours, you know, not vibrant, not welcoming. It's all doom and gloom and stuff like that. So I wanted to change that. So, which has worked wonders for me for the last 7 years. There's been no issues whatsoever. But what I found was is that I'm struggling to get into those corporate side of things, to get the bigger jobs, the bigger projects that I can actually work on, or that we can actually work on. And it's transpired that the reason why I'm not getting them, believe it or not, is because I don't look corporate enough. So now over the last week or so, I've had to come up with a brand new logo to fit into the corporate world. Bearing in mind, it's still the same team that would ever come out and see you. I'm still running the company. But I've had to spend money, unnecessary money in my eyes, on creating a new logo, creating a new website, and changing everything that I kind of believe in, I guess, in to fit into this corporate industry in order to be able to get the work and the larger projects. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a challenging...
You've come to me and I would have shot you. Told you what to do.
It's challenging. It's challenging, to be honest with you. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's an unnecessary budget that I haven't catered for, and stuff. So yeah, it's I don't see why I need to change in order to fit in. If I'm honest with you, is my actual personal view on that. You know, because I've still got all the qualifications and everything. But there you go. We'll see what happens.
What's your thoughts on that, ladies, Lena and Sonia? Any thoughts on that particularly?
Lena?
Well, it's not even so much even changing. I don't think you should change yourself as such, but maybe how you're presenting, what the material, I don't know. I don't know what... personally, if I was going to look at what you're doing... as you're saying about branding, you'd have to look at the whole thing. I think there's room for everyone and the skill sets that they're bringing to the table. But I don't think you have to change the way you look or anything like that to come into any corporate world. You know, that's not the way it should be done. There's room for you as you are. So I'm not sure when you say they're expecting you to change. I'm not sure when you said about, you know, that the logo is comical and everything. But the language around the logo that looks comical shouldn't be problematic. If this is an area of your field of expertise, that should be enough.
Yeah, Vicky's got this super van and I love it. And I can understand why, to some extent, I suppose I can understand why it might be hard breaking into corporates with it. But she's got one of her vans and the rest of her livery. It's yellow with this wonderful, fun ladybird, big ladybird on it. Locally and wherever she goes, everybody knows Vicky. Mm. She is the bug lady.
Is it the story though? I mean, the story behind, you know, the logo and everything, is that clear enough?
Yeah, because it's very obvious as to what I do, because it quite clearly says Ladybug Pest Control. And then at the side of it, it's got a ladybug. Obviously, it's called ladybug because in America, a ladybird is called a ladybug. I didn't want to be called Ladybird Pest Control. I just wanted it to be Ladybug Pest Control. And that's kind of what I've done. And I've changed the ladybird logo so that she's a female and represents a female-owned business. However, I do have men that work for me who are actual technicians as well. So it was just sort of like I needed to tone down the actual logo and the colours behind it. So at the moment it's bright yellow, but when we go into the corporate world, it has to be the dark kind of colours. I have to remove the Ladybird logo, and it's just called Ladybug Pest Control. It's called Ladybug Commercial Pest Control is the new logo, but we don't have that vibrant in it, because that's me. I'm a bubbly person. I'm bright and vibrant, and I wanted to give that across in my business, and it has worked for the last 7 years. And don't get me wrong, I have had smaller projects, this, that and the other, but if I want to go for my golden goose egg, if you like, the one that's going to keep paying my bills, if you like, or, you know, rewarding me to grow my business, then I have to change to fit in with the corporate styles, which are different colours. So you like your blues, your greens, and your black colours as well to fit in.
Well, I think it's a question of watch this space then to see how you get on. Yeah. And Sonia, what about you? With your relaunch, have you done different logos and branding?
Actually, in the end, we stuck to the original logo, because that's what everybody knows.
Yeah.
But what we have done is focused on the story behind the network. Because I've not been around for nearly 4.5 years, it's important to say, we have been around for nearly 2 decades. And sometimes you forget that you've done all this work. And I think Nina will say that if she thinks about all the shows she's ever done, and it's really weird going through all the catalogues of photos and
people
like, oh my God, did I look like that? Oh my God. And then it brings back good memories. And, especially for me where I really cannot walk. And it's like, oh God. And it was really weird because I went to an event last week. It was the Met, the new Met for London. So they had it there. So really, we did a big lot of work around Greece and BME, etc. And I'm not going to do it to go global majority. I'm just doing Black, Asian and minority ethnic. We have a shared experience. Cut a long story short. Anyway, I said, if someone picks me up, and drives me there, then that'll be fine. So anyway, one of the chairs came, and it was almost like it was a very surreal feeling. I'm there at this event, and I should have told them I'm disabled, and I forgot. So you forget how long the corridors are, right?
Yeah.
So, I know, and I was just like, oh my God, okay, let me keep going. And anyway, police officers, no, you sit down, we'll wait, we'll take you in. So they took me in, they sat me down, and then I said, oh, the guys who dropped me, they're at the upper entrance, can somebody get them? And so they went and got another officer to get them, and they came back, and they said, he was the former borough commander, but now he's gone on to greater things, grander things. He was in there with the commissioner, and I said, oh, please, make him... telling him that I'm here, but he's got to come to me rather than me to him. And he was like, okay. So then there were these two men, and I'm going to be controversial. There was two white men standing in front of me, right? So remember, we're in Ely, the most diverse borough in the world. And they're standing there. And that body language, and I said, I don't know, I'm too far away, I'm 2 chairs away. How the hell do I get to them? So I have to lip read. So when there's a pause in the conversation, I've got to jump in that conversation. Anyway, it turns out one of them leads the course on policing at the university, and the other one is in charge of the whole contract. And then when Colin came, and he's like, oh my God, we did this over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and we still do copy with the copper and Met Girls. I said, I should have copied more. That's what I should have done. And then... So the guys were like, would you come out and speak? And I said, no, it's very difficult for me now that I can't walk. And I realised that there is some value. So what I was going to say to end that story, but gosh, if I was walking, I would have been like a Duracell battery. I would have been...
She would.
Fantastic opportunity. So it was really good. But what it reminded me of is sometimes we're always looking ahead. Mm-hmm. And we should be thinking about valuing what we've done and put that value to what we do. Now, so if I was looking at a rebrand, I would say to myself, it's not the way the world is changing. Remember, we've got AI now. We've got all the different platforms, social media platforms. Not one brand is not going to, or one logo is not going to fit every social media platform. And then with the AI, what you have now is the ability. If you've got a good brand consultant, you should have still been able to manipulate those images so that it fits all different platforms. And furthermore, start to create a mission statement that would be able to tell your story. And then he would say to you, get back on LinkedIn. Because if you want to get into corporates, you've got to get into LinkedIn. So what's my story for LinkedIn? What's my story for where are my customers coming from? My paid customers coming from? So if it is LinkedIn, then you need to say, all right, I need to create a sort of brand story. And that's what I would have said to you.
Cool.
So
Sonia has spoken. Yeah, no. No, that's cool. That's cool. Sonia, I'm also conscious of time with you girls as well, everybody. But just a reminder that we are on Love to Beat radio station based here in Penge, Southeast London. And at the moment, I've got three super guests on air. We've got Vicky Sims, the bug lady, in the studio with me, and Nina Christofferson and Sonia Brown, both on Zoom, all together having a good chat. And before we run out of time, can you all remind us how people can actually find you? Vicky, would you like to go first and just sort of remind?
Yes, there's a number of different ways that they can find me. I'm on all the social media platforms, so Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Where else is there? What's the latest one? TikTok. I'm on there as well. Obviously, I have a website, which is ladybugpestcontrol.co.uk, and all the information is on there.
Excellent. Thank you. Nina, how would obviously, they type all three ladies, I think, if people typed in your names
on Google
yes. Up you will come.
Yes.
But Nina, your latest shows, just remind us where they are, please.
The latest shows are at the Pheasantry, which is on the King's Road, Chelsea, for Timeless and Billie Holiday, and also at Sadell's Crazy Cox. And you can find me, Nina, N-I-N-A, Christofferson, K-R-I-S-T-O-F-F, Freddy, E-R-S for sugar, O-N, and type in my name, NK Productions for my website, .co.uk, and Nina's page for Twitter, and Nina Christofferson for Facebook, LinkedIn and everything else.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for that. And Sonia, what about you? People could still obviously find you online, but we're waiting for this big launch in September. I don't know about you ladies, but I always think of September as the beginning of the new business year.
No, not really.
No. All right then.
It's time for birthdays. It's my birthday.
We have to bring cake in.
It just reminds me of all the children having to go back to school and all the mothers who are really relieved that they're sending them back.
So how are people going to get hold of you, Sonia?
So you can also just type in Sonia Brown MBE in LinkedIn, in Facebook, and what else? Twitter. So at Sonia Brown Talks. At Sonia Talks. Sorry, I forgot. Sonia Talks. And for the network, just sign up on all the W's, NBWN, as National Black Women's Network.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm going to say goodbye to you two ladies online, and I will see you all again soon. Don't forget that this is all being recorded on audio, and the recordings in podcast will be on the website, all the W's, 1230.co.uk. On podcast next Friday. So that's not this week, it's the following Friday. You will be there. So I'm going to say goodbye to Nina and to Sonia. Thank you so much for being here today. And I look forward to speaking again very, very soon. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Just a reminder from me about who we are. It's Jackie Groundsell, 1230, the Women's Company. Our meetings are monthly, every month with the same regularity. You will find us at all the W's, 1230.co.uk. Our big, big, big event is coming up in September, on the 20th of September. Booking is now open, so I would suggest you are quick and get on there to grab a place. So that's September. In October, on the 16th of October, we've got our Menopause Gang, Hot Stuff. We're having a special radio show purely for menopause, because the 18th of October is Menopause Day. So as we're here on a Monday, we're going to do that celebration on the 16th, 2 till 4. And before I forget it and we get crammed out by the adverts, just a reminder that following me is the lovely Ozzy Osbourne, who does indie music, indie rock. So he will be on following me on the radio station 4 till 6. That's every week, same as we are, 2 till 4. So I just want to thank everybody so much for being with us today. I will see you. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? We all say, I will see you. I will listen and hear you on the following Monday. So don't forget, Jackie Groundsall, 12:30, that's 1230.co.uk, Mondays 2 till 4. So take care, everybody. Thank you so much to my guests, Vicky Sims, Sonia Brown, Nina Christopherson, and Maggie Berry. Thank you so much. And thank you also to my listeners. We're a locally based show with global reach, and the radio station is lovetobeatradio.co.uk. Hope you've enjoyed this. The Blast from the Past with Nina, Vicky, Sonia, and Maggie. See you all again next week. Take care.